Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Oh! Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Gee, it's good to be with you on this Saturday afternoon just now before Maroon strides purposefully into this studio to call the game. It is, of course, the Newcastle Knights taking on the New Zealand Warriors. McDonald Jones Stadium. Kickoff is 3 o'clock. Maroon is already going through some of the vocal contortions that he does. A little bit of operatic style, a bit of singing going on in the background. It's always good to hear.
Push-ups in the undies.
Little push-ups in the undies, I know. Is it necessary to take the shirt off before he when he comes in to
That's
do that?
That's just how he rolls.
He's a bit into himself.
Yeah. I do love
no
it.
Fabric. That's how he rolls.
We're going to get to the cooler as well to give you your tip, remembering that just take it with a grain of salt, given that last week the tip was from an entire race meeting that was abandoned. We do have... It's the best stat ever, isn't it? We do have Sterlo arriving in just under
Hopefully
half an
hour. All our loyal listeners were straight on.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I think most people now who know the cooler know that they better just double check. So in some ways you did save the money. Because they didn't outlay it and given. Oh, no, your form hasn't been that bad.
You didn't have. I think cooler, yeah, win of the week. I think the cooler had a win of the week.
Yeah, Ryan, if you could pass that on to the cooler, that message, that
would be cooler. I'll let the cooler doubts himself sometimes.
We can hear from the coaches as well before Sterlo arrives for that preview. So much ahead for you right now, though. You do know we're in the middle of a terrific thing called. Here we go.
The Triple M Footy Voice.
Don't you love it? This is the idea that you may be sitting out there, or perhaps you've been to the pub with some mates and you've got one particular mate who's very good at looking up the screen and just calling the game. He may be annoying or he may be super talented. If he is the latter, then we want to hear from him, because this is, if you want to be a Ray Warren or, of course, a Maroon.
Dan Ganane.
Rex Moss, but Dan Ganane, indeed. Or Graham Hughes, who called in the retro round of their game last night in Fox Sports.
Great call. Was any good? Oh, he was great.
I was listening to Triple M Radio, but
I listened to it. He was terrific. Yeah, he was really good. It was so good. Brought back a lot of memories for me from being a kid, because in the 80s, he was always calling the games.
Triple M is offering someone this footy commentating experience. Plus, of course, you get tickets for you and a mate to the NRL Grand Final. You can't lose out of this, and that could possibly be the kickstart for your new career with Triple M. All right, so basically the idea is, and you're still trying to enter, I know it's been going for a little while now, but there is still an opportunity for you. Record your best rugby league commentary on your smartphone and head to the win page at triplem.com.au for all the details of how to enter right now. Why don't we just get a catch up on how they've been going. Here is a montage, which we love in this business, of some of the most recent.
Ben from Kellyville in New South Wales.
Cameron Smith, dummies. Gives the Kronk. Kronk to Garabini. Melbourne are going to score. Great defence, Cronulla. Latelli makes the tackle. That's it. That's full time. Cronulla have done it.
Cameron from Wellington Point in Queensland.
Here's Wolf Smith with the scoop to Kenny Edwards. Kenny Edwards to Corey Norman. Here he is again. Inside to Gutherson. Gutherson is tackled just in good cover defence and a one-on-one strip there.
Curtis from St Helens Park, New South Wales.
It's going to come down now in the in-goal area. Knocked back by Queensland, picked up by the Blues, and it's another try. And I think Ricky Stewart, the man that started it, has died on the ball. And the Blues have got another try. It's 10 points to do with a kick to come for Triple M.
Dan from Druin, Victoria.
They are in Queensland. Dane Gagai's the man yet again. And we have just under 4 minutes to play at Origin 2. And Chegan points to the spot. And we are locked up at 16-all.
And Peter from Newcastle in New South Wales.
Well, Jonathan Thurston, he's about to take the kick from right out on the touchline. But what about the ball from Morgan to Gagai? Unbelievable. Unbelievable Queensland.
There are just a few of the voices who are involved.
Hager was the last one.
Yeah, old school. I like that.
Yeah,
kind of voice.
They're
going
all good.
On. Yeah. Well, Cameron, it sounded like he recorded. He's in the bathroom.
or the dungeon or something.
Or a dungeon. Yeah. It was quite, he loves rugby league and Game of Thrones. He's not sure which one he's going to go with in terms of calling. What do you think, Gerds?
Yeah.
Happy to sit alongside one of those guys?
Yeah, I think sometimes
you know, they try and transcend sort of someone like Ray Warren, where they just need to kind of be themselves a little bit. I think obviously they're used
putting
to
on
hearing
the voice
Rabs every week, and they sort of go into that mode. But you don't need to sound like Rabs to be a good caller. You can have your own unique style, like, say, well, Maroon.
Maroon, exactly. And you can have your own voice. You
have your own
need
voice.
He likes the loosey-goosey style.
Oh, he does. He likes talking about putting, he likes talking about your missus. That's Maroon style. It's like that.
How is your missus?
She's great, mate. She misses you, Tone.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's just a very lovely lady.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Make sure you do get involved. I said again, record your best rugby league commentary. That's what you've got to do. Do it on your smartphone. Head to the win page at triplem.com.au. You could be the next Triple M voice, and you could, of course, be starting a career or just picking up those tickets for you and a mate to the NRL Grand Final. Get involved. We'll get to the cooler very shortly and find out what's going on with you. But hear from the coaches and Sterlo to join us all ahead. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the footy with a bit of In Excess for you on a Saturday afternoon. Now remember, making an NRL multi is easy with the all-new YouBet multi-builder. Download the app today and customise by sport, time and price. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us. G'day, Daff.
Hi, Tony.
How are things going in that beautiful world? Oh, the Knights and the Warriors, we're saying a little bit earlier here after the Knights beat the Dragons last week, there'd be a fair bit of confidence head-to-head on the Knights, wouldn't there?
Well, there certainly is. I guess their best form is probably better than what the Warriors have been able to produce recently, and punters have reacted to that because the Knights were $2.25 early in the week. They're actually closing in on favouritism. Slight outsiders now, $1.97, Warriors $1.87, but still a way to go there and quite conceivable they could start favourites.
What about north of the border, Jared? Is punters giving the Gold Coast any chance against the Broncos?
Not really. They're out to $2.95 now. The Bronx $1.42. I guess the other thing is it's probably all over for the Titans anyway. They were poor last week, so punters more than happy to take the short odds. The Broncos, even though McCulloch's out, that line there 6.5 points.
The Titans could see a bit of the back of James Roberts. He's scored some tries against them in recent times as well, Jimmy the Jet. Yeah. What about the Sharkies and the Raiders, Jared?
He's got an imposing record, Roberts, against. I think it's 4 tries in the last 3 games. Yeah. He's an $8 favourite to be the first try scorer today. And in that final game, Tony, we've got, well, the money today has been for Canberra. They were $2.50 all week. They've just shortened up marginally into $2.45, but this is a big betting game, so it is a notable move. Cronulla out to $1.58, and the +4.5 for the Raiders is into $1.80. So they're another side that have got a pretty good record against the Sharks, and punters, all the late money that I suggest that they've got some hope tonight.
Jared Daffy, as ever, thank you so much, my friend. Making an NRL multi is easy with the all-new YouBet multi-builder. Download the app today. Customised by sport, time and price. Remember, gamble responsibly. All right, it's time to, given it is retro round, let's have a little play of this one.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, indeed, the best of the best. Gentlemen, your task this afternoon, should you choose to employ it, is to give me the best of the best 80s, 1980s players. I know it's a huge, we've got the decade there, there's so many names. Can you drill down and give me 3 each, please? Where do you want me to start?
Is it best or our favourites? Our favourites of the 80s?
Did you listen to the opener?
Yeah. I did.
Okay. Best of the best. Didn't say it. Now time for Wendell's favourites of the 80s.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
What are you going to go with, big fella?
Yeah, well, mate, for me, I'm going to go with, let me think. Mate, for me.
I'd hoping you'd already done that bit.
Yeah, no, but thinking. We've got two. Right. Terry Lamb, for me, I love the way that bar played. I got to play against him in the 90s.
Yep.
Obviously, very tough defender. Mate, one of the best backing up. And also, for me, Mel Meninga was a bloke that I loved watching. South, went to South, obviously, to Canberra.
Yeah, so you were, that was, he was in Brisbane then,
yes.
Wasn't he? Because he's, I mean, his best years were probably early 90s when Canberra were winning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but yeah, he started there at South there. I think the police academy there with Wayne Bennett also. And then I've got to say Cliffy Lyons for me. I know, you know, mate, I think he's still playing a little bit now. He's still playing the, you know, the old boys
amazing,
stuff.
Isn't
and that.
It?
He's a mate. And even Steve Menzies, just there's just the sort of, I know that was in the 90s for them, but just watching Cliffy go back to the, you know, back to the 80s there, he's just, he was so, you know, magical the way he did things, and an absolute legend bloke.
Oops.
champ. You're right, he is a champion bloke and a champion player. I'm going to go with a bit of a Balmain theme, Tone, because I was a Balmain Tigers fan as a kid growing up. So I'm going
Exactly where you're going.
I'm going Wayne Pearce. Uh-huh. I'm going Paul Sirenin.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go the great Blocker Roach.
Oh, you love Blocker
and
Roach.
And I'm also going to give honourable mentions to Kevin Hardwick and Kerry Hemsley for their mullets because they had unreal hairdos.
Didn't they? They were great.
Did you enjoy it when Ari Hanley went there?
Of course, yeah. The Black Pearl, what a champ.
Did you get to meet him?
I did as a kid, yeah. I got to, yeah, we'd go to Leichhardt Oval and you'd watch training and he had time for everyone. One of the most heartbreaking moments was the bloke who you
Yeah,
just
your bloke, Terry Lamb.
Terry Lamb, yeah.
Best was 1988. Yeah. We knew that we were in for a tough day when
Has there ever been any vision of that?
No, they've never.
For those who don't know, it was Ellery Handler was the guy. Everybody wanted to get rid of him, so Terry Lamb did. In the grand final, down he went, never saw him again.
They've never uncovered the number of angles that we're fortunate enough to have these days, Tone. Yeah. So, yeah, everybody, I think essentially everyone knows what happened. Yeah. And Barr, look, take nothing away from him. He is an absolute.
Ellery should have came back on.
There's concussion rules, okay?
Yeah, not like that, mate. You know, it's a bit soft.
Ryan Girdley, you're sitting there quietly. Who have you got for me?
Oh, just reminiscing. What a great era of rugby league, Tony. Yeah. Starts with me with the king. I can't go past
How did you
Wally Lewis. NRL back then probably, they started when 88. Was it the Broncos? State of Origin in the 80s. I mean, rugby league, it was all about the king. I'm going to go with Eric Groth, senior, on the wing, the barnstorming winger. Just remember him on the next to Zip Zip there and on the back of that back line for the Earls. And my favourite player during the sort of late 70s, early 80s was Stevie Rogers. The late, great Stevie Rogers. Yeah, I used to sit up on the hill and watch the sludge run around and just create absolute havoc for the Sharkies I think it was called Endeavour Oval at the time.
And he was brilliant. Even when he went as an older player, went to the Dragons. He was.
What about you, Tone?
Brett Kenny didn't get a mention.
Brett Kenny, for me.
You know, two tries in what consecutive grand finals? How many grand finals he scored two tries in? I think three. Brett Kenny, an absolute amazing.
He's not well at the moment, is he?
No, he's not. He's got some kind of cancer, but he's battling away there. And all our thoughts are with Brett Kenny. All right, there is. Your three options for the best of the best 80s players plan to come and hear from the coaches from this game today. Peter Sterling will also join us as we preview the game for Iveco Trucks. All ahead, Saturday Triple M NRL.
Oh my goodness! Triple M rocks the footy.
Just checking my email about the team.
Oh, I didn't know you subscribed to that magazine.
Opponents and overscore. Yeah. Well, came to the last, remember we had one earlier in the year.
Yeah,
having a shardy.
Yeah. Everyone's happy to go down in and have a schooner, exactly, but you had to stand there with your expensive bottle of wine. Cost effective.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Lovely to have company on this Saturday afternoon, a beautiful Saturday afternoon for some footy. Just over half an hour before kickoff, the Knights and the Warriors at McDonald Jones Stadium. Sun shining down on that beautiful field in that lovely town. Of course, the team that I have always supported, the Knights over the Dragons. But let's not go into that in much detail. Peter Sterling has walked in. We'll get with him very, very shortly.
I love getting with him.
Not sure why none of you, when he went the best of the best 80s, did say Peter Sterling at number one, apart from me.
I said special mention to Peter Sterling.
Special mention to Sterling. We'll get his take on the 80s. This is retro round. There has been a question was put to various Triple M listeners. What did you love most about league in the 80s? Now, Tony Delaharis, who, of course, is a former referee, says proper thick footy jerseys, shoulder pads, headgear, no wrestling tactics. Person playing the ball can tap the ball forward. I remember that.
Yeah, that was good.
But what has happened to the shoulder pads? Surely they're wearing some kind of protection under there. Is it all...
Mal Meninga, I saw footage of Mal in the 80s playing for Brisbane North or whoever it was. He actually wore... It used to be compulsory to wear shoulder pads. Everyone had them because Wayne Pearce wore them and everyone wanted to be Wayne Pearce and we all wanted to tackle like Wayne Pearce. So we all grew up...
Did you wear shoulder pads in the back line?
I think I did late... early 90s, like my first year of first grade, I think I did because I still don't have shoulders now. I used to come with a brown
stain. Used to hide behind the straw.
Hey, what about the jock strap?
The jock strap?
Yeah, well, didn't people used to wear the jock strap back in the day?
I don't know. I can't remember that far. I don't know.
No?
But still, I can answer that later on.
Okay.
But I wore headgear because Brett Rodwell wore headgear. You know the Madison headgear? I wore those when I was playing first grade.
That's what you used to. You used to try and emulate your heroes and...
Yeah. Well, and so why did you never come up with Kevin Hardwick's mullet?
Well, because Kevin Hardwick wasn't my favourite player back in the day. I grew a mo when I was 13 to look like Steve Rogers, though.
Oh, please.
Did you really? Alex Cullen has tweeted in, said Kevin Hardwick's mullet, Gavin Miller's nose. Not sure why you aspired to that. That was everywhere, wasn't it? Jack Gibson's fur jacket, which was a sensation.
It wouldn't be allowed now.
So good. Up at the SCG, you'd see him.
There'd be an uproar now.
Absolutely brilliant. Daryl Eastlake and Jack Gibson commentating on Origin. Huge.
Yeah.
There are plenty of things there that...
What about just in general, though, Tony, some of the things we used to get up to in the 80s? Remember Cracker Night?
Oh, yeah.
How good was Cracker? And used to be able to just, you know, light a bonfire, get all your stuff together and just burn it, you know? What was it used to... An incinerator used to be able to have an incinerator in your...
Kids, don't
your
listen backyard. To Uncle Ryan. It's not good.
No, no, no. We've moved good. On, but, yep. you know, acid wash, Dunlop volleys. What about the old drive-in movies, Tone? Do you ever do some damage at the drive-in?
Oh, what, to the car?
Yeah. Did you ever... Ryan, did you ever wear double denim?
No.
I still wear double denim.
No, you do not.
I still wear double denim. What do you mean? A denim shirt and denim jeans? Maybe triple denim with a jacket on top.
That'll do me, mate.
No drama whatsoever.
Yeah, it works in white on you, Tony.
Yeah. All right, it is time. Get your pens out, ladies and gentlemen. Last time the meeting was abandoned. What is going to happen this time with this?
Best cooler there ever was, and I need him back.
You're not telling me to the cooler.
The cooler.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
Full of confidence today, the cooler back in at his favourite track in Melbourne, Flemington, of course.
Have you looked at the weather conditions?
Lovely track, yeah. It's a little bit wet down there, which is a good thing because he's back to horse that likes a little bit of mud underfoot today, the cooler. But he has gotten the theme this week, retro round. He's right into that. He's bought in. The cooler's favourite player in the 80s was the great Ray Price, of course.
Why are we leaving
here? They used to call him Mr. Perpetual Motion because he was always moving on the field, Tony. And that's what the cooler's like when he gets down in the betting ring. You know, he moves around. He's always looking for the best deal.
Looking for something.
The cooler's, so he's going to pay homage to the great man, Ray Price, today, and he's tipping a horse called Poetic Ray in race 10 in Melbourne, number 2, race 10, Poetic Ray. And see, a lot of people didn't know that Ray used to like poetry.
Poems. Yeah, really?
Yeah, and this is one of his favourites here.
Yeah.
I like to run. I like to tackle.
Yeah.
I love to run. Uh-huh. In the good old days, we like to scrum.
Oh, my goodness.
And the cooler's out.
Someone, shoot me. Oh, a cool change.
I'm glad the cooler is out.
Yeah.
The cooler is out of line. That's what the cooler is. Okay. Sterlo joins us next, Saturday, Triple M and RL. Have a finger there for you. Saturday Triple M NRL as Triple M rocks the footy is with great pleasure. We welcome to the show Mr. Peter Sterling. Sterling, g'day, how you going?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm very well.
80s, retro round. We were specifically looking at the 80s and some of the great players that played through there, some of the terrific things. As a man who was one of the stars of that decade and that era, do you fondly look back at that period?
I fondly look back on it, Tony. That's when rugby league was played the way it should be played. That's the magic sponge got you through 80 minutes. You couldn't, if you didn't have that on the sideline, you were no chance of playing 80. Black boots. How good were black boots?
I know.
I can't believe that we've ever had anything but black boots. Vaseline. Everybody wore Vaseline on your eyebrows and your knees, whether you needed or not.
Yep.
And sometimes you wore pads on both when you were playing at North Sydney Oval because it was just like concrete.
Concrete, yeah.
Yeah, and I was listening to you guys. I wore shoulder pads. They were just like a second layer to me when you took me years to get a body like this. I can see it looking at me now as I'm talking about shoulder pads.
Oh, it's hard to look
past all the good things, Tony, all the good things. And when you have a look at it now, the game was as slow as you've ever seen, but it was still good fun.
It was, but there's also that, and we're talking about the shoulder pads, there's lots kind of different, I suppose there are different body shapes now, but they're kind of the emergence of the athlete rather than just the footy player. And that's what we love when we see in the modern day game, don't we, those guys who, they're just rugby league players.
Yeah, well, you know, Sam Cassiano could play in any decade, couldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, obviously the smaller players were coming through as well, the Alan Langers and the likes. Chris Guider came up to my knee, I think, Chris Guider, and... So rugby league's always been like that, but hasn't it? It accommodates all shapes and sizes. But the 80s was a little bit different, I suppose. It was very, very defence orientated there for much of it. Obviously, Warren Ryan, coach sides, sort of set the trend there, and Parramatta did particularly well in that department also. But you still had your excitement machines. I've never seen anybody run the football better than an Eric Groth or a Brett Kenny, and I'm biased there, but I was watching close hand. You know, it's hard to play poorly when you had one of those either side of you.
Did you enjoy last night when we saw the game go back to the Sydney Cricket Ground? Because for you, there were so many wonderful moments on that ground, the grand final victories and, you know, representative games. It was the place where it was all happening.
Yeah, well, that's where you played the grand finals through till 1987. And, you know, when you hear now that players are playing their first game there, you think, well, gee, what a thrill that must be, because it was something that we were a little bit used to, I suppose, when you played finals football. That's where it was at. I can still remember the sounds more than anything, but the cricket ground, the concrete and the wooden sort of floors kind of thing. So that's something that stands out to me. But it was, I remember playing there one day. We actually warmed up out on the Sydney Cricket Ground number 2, and I was captain of Parramatta. I think I might have told you before, and I looked across after 5-10 minutes and I saw Michael Erickson on the wing, and he didn't start the game. I was certain of that. And in the run across from the Sydney Cricket Ground number 2 to Sydney Cricket Ground number 1, Eric Groth got hurt on his way across. And but that could happen with Eric. He tripped over the halfway line one day. He was out for 6 weeks.
What about your Eels? Are you happy with what you saw on Thursday night? Mitchell Moses was looking good, taking on the line as goods mentioned earlier. He loves to run, but the kicking game, Corey Norman standing up beautifully. And that kind of, we talk about, you know, workmen like Pax, you know, you had kind of like Stan Jurd. Names are don't, you know, ring out, but who do? No,
but it's now used in rhyming slang, yeah. Thank goodness. Oh, even Ronnie Cook. How that yeah, look, yeah. I thought they played the conditions beautifully the other night. It really is developing, the 6 and the 7, and Bevan French has been great at fullback. I thought when Gutherson was out, they might take a little bit of a transition period, but that hasn't been the case at all. And now they're going along nicely, and now have a sight at a top 4 finish, and who knows what could happen then. Nathan Brown's been the revelation. Yeah. He's just like, but South Sydney came off the back fence, never passed a football. Well, now he's just an all-round player and playing some great footy. I thought Canterbury were disappointing. And last night, your team, I've never seen a side stop defending. They just, when Nene McDonald scored and Tyson Frizzell came off, they actually stopped moving up at all.
Yep.
And just invited South Sydney to come and get them. It was remarkable.
It is weird. I know Paul McGregor has said we haven't managed to play an 80-minute game for quite some time now. But you usually, you know, you got something in those last few minutes when the game is absolutely on the line. That could be a time when you should actually play the footy.
They stopped moving up. Yep. When they didn't have the football, they literally didn't move up at all. And the defence just, it was out the window.
Yeah.
And when you consider how important that 2 competition points is going to be.
Yeah.
It's just, it was unforgivable.
No, it's absolutely, it's a pen, red pen through them, so far as I'm concerned.
Tony's a Knights supporter now, please. He's just jumped off today.
Well, you'll drag them back there too. I was tipping to make it 2 in a row. I'm going to have to reconsider.
We're going to look at this game in one moment. I just want to get your thoughts just on the other 2 teams that are clearly going to feature. The Melbourne Storm, they continue to impress each time. Obviously, the Cowboys didn't get the job done. I think it was probably a little bit closer than what that score said, but you still like what you see with Melbourne.
Oh, you've got to, don't you? Yeah. I think if you had a look at the replay or the highlights of that game last night and you took the tries out of it, you'd be hard-pressed to know who won the game. And in fact, you might well have favoured North Queensland. Yep. Yep. But Melbourne just have this unbelievable ability to strike when the opportunity presents itself, to absorb pressure like you've never seen before, and just get their nose in front, and once they get in front, they're almost impossible to run down. So I thought North Queensland were good last night. I thought they were good against the Roosters the week before, but they've lost both of those games, and now their top 4 spot is in jeopardy.
Can they recover, Pete? I mean, you know, 2 losses like that, the injuries that they have going into this pretty tough sort of back end of the season, could that sort of last night just sort of be the end of their run?
It might take a bit of oomph out of them, yeah, because their run home is not a comfortable one at all, although we keep saying, you know, sides would like to play the tougher teams and really sort of get battle-hardened for what's going to come in that last month. But they put a lot into last weekend, last night, for no result. So it'll be a good test for Paul Green, but he's been outstanding since he's taken over up there anyway, and if anyone can lift them, he can. But Melbourne Storm, they've lost 4 games or something like that. And 2 of those were during Origin when they were. So it's been an incredible season, and they are deserved favourites. And again, after what you saw last night, just reaffirms that.
Indeed. We're going to hear from some of the coaches from today. We'll have a look at that. We'll go to the lineups, all thanks to Mongrel Boots as well. Remember, you can hear every second of Triple M Footy wherever you are. Download the Triple M NRL app now.
I did have to mention in commentary the other night, Tony, when there was, there wasn't an accusation of a bite, but it kind of got mentioned in conversation that I do remember Ray Price being accused of biting in one game, and I fell off the chair because I got changed next to Pricey for 10 years. He had no teeth. He'd give you a nasty suck, but that's about as dangerous as he could get.
Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Hallelujah.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And we are waiting for this kickoff, 3 o'clock. Maroon will join you very shortly for that call. Sterlo is with James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires as well. Okay, Hoops, thanks to Mongrel Boots. Can you take us through the lineups, my friend?
Yeah, let's do these changes for Mongrel Boots, Tone. So for the Newcastle Knights, Chanel Matautia comes onto the wing. In the forwards, they've got one out. Joe Wardle is out. Apparently he got crook yesterday. So Lachlan Fitzgibbon moves from the interchange bench into the starting side, and Sam Stone is onto the bench. Those changes for Mongrel Boots. Look, then for the Warriors, Tone, Stephen Kearney's just done a little shake-up in terms of his pack. The back line is still intact. Ben Madalino goes back to the bench. Sam Lassone will start at prop. Simon Mannering was named in jump at number 13, but he's now been named to start in the back row. Jazz Tavunga is the player who comes in at lock. And those changes are for Mongrel Boots. Isaiah Papali also goes back to the bench.
All right, why don't we end up right now here from the Warriors coach, Stephen Kearney, who is with Emma Lawrence.
Steve, it's been a tough month for you guys, but I know you've had a lot of injuries into key players like Johnson and Hoffman. But injuries aside, what is it that hasn't been clicking for you guys over the last month?
Yeah, I think we've... In all of the games, aside from the Penrith game we had at home, but you know, we had a game against Manly over in Perth, and you know, we were right in the contest there, and it was very similar up in Townsville, and you know, even last week, and we just, you know, we're probably a metre off, half a second off in certain areas, and I've been really impressed with the boys in terms of their effort and, you know, the energy they're putting into things. We're just probably a bit low on confidence at the minute, and just lacking that, you know, that polish that that hopefully will get us over the line.
It would be hard too with Kieran and Mason and an unfamiliar halves combination. What do you want to see from them today?
Yeah, sure. I think particularly last week, particularly with Kieran, you know, being the senior half in that position, is to, you know, between him, Roger and Isaac Luke, is really, you know, sort of take control of the team there. And, you know, we've worked really hard on that all week. And, so that's what we're looking for today.
Now, there is a bit of a good story. You've got Isaiah Papali'i coming back in to play his second game. We watch him in the 20s and he just absolutely tears them apart. What do you like about his game?
Yeah, I mean, he's a young man. You know, we see as a, you know, he's got a great future at the football club, and it was a sort of about nursing him along this season. He actually played in round one against the Knights in round one at home there at Mount Smart, and he's been, you know, in and around the 21 all year this year, and so, you know, with the injury to Bodine, he gets an opportunity today, and I'm sure he'll play a part in the game somewhere today.
And with finals now out of contention, what is it that is driving the side, or what do you want to see from them in this sort of last 4 to 5 weeks of footy?
Yeah, I mean, we set about, you know, setting ourselves a certain standard, and you know, right at the beginning of the year, and you know, we've worked really hard over the course of the year to, you know, work to certain standards that we want, and you know, nothing changes for us. You know, I mean, you know, it gives us an opportunity to go into the off season and the pre-season for next year. You know, with some real confidence under our belt. So, you know, that's really important for us, that we, you know, finish off the year really well with some really strong performances.
All right, well, best of luck for today and for the rest of the season.
Cheers, thank you.
Warriors coach Stephen Kearney there, speaking to Emma Lawrence. So we're talking earlier as we head into a preview, thanks to Iveco Trucks. I was talking about South Sydney last night, and we're talking about the idea that injured players
were still running around. How much, with this Knights, for example, how much is about getting the back end of this year going well with a view to the future? I mean, how important is it? We talked about that as, you know, one of the things players do play through injured.
Absolutely. Oh, for Newcastle especially, because they've been slowly building, and yep. I think we can all see the pursuits of Nathan Brown, which have been, you know, tough for most of the season, really starting to bear some fruit. And the great thing for Newcastle last week was that they didn't play anywhere near as well last weekend against the Dragons as they did against Brisbane and Canterbury.
Yep.
So to get the result last week was fantastic for them. I actually spoke to Brownie during the week, and you know, he's in a really good frame of mind at the moment, because you know they're finding a way to win. But it started out early in the season just to compete.
Yep.
That's all they were trying to do. Well, now they're developed into a good football team, and they'll take that into a pre-season, and with some purchases that they've made, you'd like to think that Newcastle, you know, aren't going to be the whipping boy that they've been for the last couple of seasons. So,
and you won't be hearing negative things from Brian McGuigan, Nathan Brown, for the next little while.
Let's hope not. No, yeah. It's look at, you know, Brownie's done a. I think he's done a fantastic job up there, and a couple of halves of football that I've seen in recent times, you know, that they look like a top eight side. Now they've just got to be able to do that for 80 minutes and do it every week, and that's not easy to do because they started well behind everybody else, and they're going great guns. Just looking through this Warriors lineup, you know, they again the annual disappointment. I know it was more the disco era, but Jazz Tavunga, he'd have got a game in the '80s, wouldn't he?
He would have. He certainly would have.
A game in my team, isn't
he? Yeah, they're out there doing their warm ups in Newcastle. The crowd building in. I mean, the Newcastle fans do turn up, and they now they've got something to cheer about. They've had a win. Can they go back to back? There's certainly a school of thought that they've every chance, Ryan Girdler, of going back to back.
Yeah, I think they will. As Pete said, we've all watched them build throughout the year. One thing I like about Newcastle, the way that they go about their business, they always sort of start with a plan, and they always come out and they sort of go through their process. And they look, sometimes obviously they get it wrong at the back end of the game through inexperience. Sometimes they obviously lose their way and they get run down. But I don't know, the majority of the games this year, they've sort of won the first half and they get themselves in winning positions. Last week they were able to close that out, which was the most impressive thing. But they're always in the footy game. It's not often they get absolutely blown away by some of the better sides, yeah, rightfully so. But generally when they come up against sides, you know, mid-table, they put in they compete really hard. They come out, their kicking game's always pretty good. I like their attacking structures. Their set piece is always really crisp, and they're actually a pretty good footy side to watch play. Then you've got some athletes in the side like Gagai and Rice, and when they get the football, they can make things happen. And I was really impressed over the last couple of weeks with the development of those Saifidi brothers.
Yep.
Last week I think it was Jacob that came off the bench. He was outstanding for a guy that only played for sort of 50 minutes, and his brother, you know, probably plays a few more minutes, and he starts for them, and he's a big part of their side as well, and the development of the Matautia boys as well. Not just, you know, Sione's leadership, the captain of the team at a young age, the fact that he's been identified and moved into the back row, which was just a great call by Brownie, but also Peter, you know, when he was down there at the Dragons, yeah. You know, he was so hit and miss, but consistently week in, week out. Now he's just becoming a better player, and as Pete said, when they get, you know, these other guys around them next year, they're going to be a side that compete every week and win some footy games.
I've been delighted for Trent Hodgkinson. It's been a nice comeback for him late this season, hasn't it?
Yep.
He was copying a bit of a hiding up there, and when you consider they lost Jared Mullen as well during the course of the season to not have experience around the halves. But I think he's done really well the last month coming in, and he's taken some pressure off Brock Lamb, and his goal kicking is important, and you know the need he's managing that obviously pretty well, but just his experience out there, I think, has you know, been a real boost for them over the last month as well, because they don't have much of it.
No, exactly. Just 10 minutes to kick off. Why wouldn't we hear from the Newcastle Knights coach, Nathan Brown?
Brownie, so good to see you guys get that win up here last week. How's the week been like at training? Is it more enjoyable, and does everyone have a bit more of a spring in their step after a win?
Look, yeah, probably a good guy. Probably Sean Kenny down when he was at the club for 2 or 3 weeks. He sort of first coming. We had the heartbreaking loss to Canterbury. We had another really close loss, and you know, Sean couldn't believe the spirits and how the guys turned up to training each week. So, look, their effort and commitment that way's been really good. But I'd be lying if I said there wasn't an extra bit of happiness. You know, the win certainly was something that, you know, we feel we've we've probably earned the right to have a bounce of the ball or earned the right to get a win. We just, for different reasons, hadn't quite got a win. So it was a great reward for a lot of hard work for the players.
And do you want them to bring that confidence into today, or do you try to bring them back down a level just to avoid any chance of possibly being complacent?
Oh, look, I think, you know, when you look at us every week we play, you know, we're sort of a fairly serious underdog, so I don't think complacency is a real problem. You know, the one game where we probably, the expectation was high against the Tigers, and we probably got all that wrong, you know. We probably focused on, you know, on winning a game rather than what we need to do to get the result right. And, you know, so hopefully that was a big lesson for us. You know, the Warriors come here today off the back of, you know, they've had two games where they've competed very well against both Cronulla and the Cowboys over there, and you know, they lost two close ones, which has resulted in their year probably coming to an end a bit earlier than what they would like. So, you know, we can only control our commitment and effort, and, you know, we generally do get that right, so hopefully we continue to get that right and the players continue to improve.
A big loss with Sean not there. Will probably just be the 1 week for him. Is that hammy anything too serious?
Yeah, he hasn't actually re-hurt it again. It's just tightened up, and it's something that we don't want to become a long-term problem. So, you know, the medical staff are quite hopeful that next week he'll be able to play.
And you must have been pleased over the last few weeks with Brock, but especially last week. What do you want to see from him today to keep building his game?
Oh, look, last week, you know, his kicking game was good. He kicked for two tries. His defence was very good, and he was pretty much error-free. So if he can keep getting his kicking game good and get his defensive part of his game good, yeah, I'm quite comfortable that he's a tackle build off that.
And then if we look at the Warriors halves, Kieran and Mason haven't really played together, and they've been copying it a bit from the commentators and the media. Will you be looking to put a fair bit of pressure on those two?
Oh, look, I suppose they come into the year, the Warriors, with a lot of expectation, and, you know, with Kieran at half and Isaac Luke at hooker and Roger at fullback, along with Sean Johnson in the halves. You know, it's a World Cup winning spine, and there was a lot of pressure on those guys to do well. Kieran didn't start the year, and obviously Sean's had some moments this year where he was quite sensational, and now Kieran's taken over, I suppose, as the senior playmaker. And Mason Lino's, you know, he's played a lot of reserve grade, and now he's starting to show that he can handle reserve grade, you know. So for us, if our big numbers can do a good job on their big numbers, it'll give our halves an opportunity to shine.
Well, let's hope so. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Emma Lawrence here with Nathan Brown. All right, gentlemen, let's go around the table. Maroon is about to step in as we call this game 5 minutes before kickoff. Who wins, James Hooper?
I like the Knights, Tone. I think they're going to make it two in a row.
Ryan Girdler?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Knights as well, Tone.
Sterlo?
Yeah, despite the fact that apparently Stacey Jones has a late call-up, I'm going for the Newcastle Knights.
It is much better around.
Thank you so much for your company. Thanks to the good people of Bryden's Lawyers. Stick around, kickoff in 5 minutes as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.